Go.
What's up, kids? It's 2019. We're bringing it in Chad and Cheese style with our first demo of the year. Welcome, Max Arm Brewster.
Woo!
I said that right or not. From top, push it real good. Max, welcome to the, I don't know, what are we calling this, Chad? The demo apocalypse or?
That sounds awesome. I love
demo
it.
Welcome to the demo apocalypse of 2019. Max, welcome to the show. Say hi to everybody and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Joel. Happy New Year. Max Armbruster, founder, CEO of TalkPush. And I am bringing the demo apocalypse. What did you say?
Demo? Demo apocalypse.
Demo apocalypse on the ATS.
I don't know.
With our new product. So this is the first time we're showing our new CRM, which we recently re-released to be more real-time and mobile friendly, and allows the recruiters to continue the conversation on the go, the conversations that were started on the chatbots. So, you know, people know us as the chatbot company, but today we're going to show you what happens to the back end with a CRM.
Cool. So I'm going to stop you for a second. You are the chatbot company, but you are the global chatbot company. We here in America are sort of short-sighted. Talk briefly about your reach and how many countries that you are currently active.
We started out in Asia, and in many ways, Asia is ahead of other markets when it comes to adopting messaging technology. You know, WhatsApp, WeChat, these apps have really, you know, that's where people talk basically, and it's been like that for 10 years in Asia. We operate currently in 12 different countries. So from Asia, we continued our expansion all over the world. Obviously, we work as well in the US and across Latin America, some countries in Africa as well. It's a different growth model for us. It's been very international. And in our company, we have 45 employees and 12 nationalities as well. So it's we're nationless.
Sweet. So today, I mean, you're actually going to show us. Wait, where'd Max go? Did you scare him off? Oh, there he is. You're going to show us not just the chatbot technology, but you're going to show us chatbots integrated into a CRM.
That's right.
That's right. Show me.
There's all these chatbot solutions that are, like a black box. Like you don't necessarily know what goes, what happens in there. Mm-hmm. Whereas we think that a recruiter, if the conversation was fronted by a bot or by an AI, mm-hmm. the recruiter would at some point have to take over. It's you could look at it as like some of it is assisted and some of it is unassisted. But the part that is assisted by a human, well, you want to know what's happening behind the scene. You want to know what happened beforehand. So that CRM gives you all that context and history and lets you decide at which point that handover happens. So that, you know, you decide whether you want to do the selection yourself or whether you want the AI to do the selection. You decide at which point the candidate moves to a different stage in the recruitment process.
Gotcha. I'm excited. Show me this stuff.
Okay. I'll start sharing my screen.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. So this is the, can you see it all right?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Can you still see my face or all screen?
Yep.
Okay. Not that my face has anything to do with it, but here we go. So, in this interface, you can see, this is where the recruiters would work. When they log into TalkPush, they would see all of their, so here we're in all campaigns, but I could go in a specific campaign.
Uh-huh.
So let's say, I'll go down to this candidate. This is a candidate who applied for a conversational designer role. So now I'm within one campaign.
Okay.
And here, you can see there's, in the middle panel, there's all the chat history that happened between the candidate and the company. And
so I see icons of a robot and some that aren't. Is that the difference between automated responses and actual human responses?
Exactly. Exactly. So if I start writing to this candidate, hi, candidate name, blah, blah, I would love to schedule an interview. If I start writing directly with myself, whoops, and I click send, that message will be recorded in the system as coming from me. So from that moment on, from the moment there's a human intervention, the robot knows it's taking a back seat, that it's now in the hands of the recruiter, and to stop continuing the automated conversation.
Gotcha. And more importantly, Jennifer in this example knows it's from a human being versus a robot?
No, actually, she sees the messages coming from TalkPush. So in this case, we're using our own company account. So this is my own personal account, and this is more for internal. We know it's coming from Max, so that within a recruitment team, if you have three or four recruiters working on the same requisition, then they can see who's done what.
Well, and also from a recording standpoint, to be able to go back and say, hey, these are the conversations via the robot versus recruiter X, Y, and Z, and you can see the difference between the types of responses.
Yeah, and we may in the future do a little bit more communication around this. You know, this message came from this person.
Uh-huh.
I'll stop sharing my screen for a second to show you what I have here, which is another new feature we released this year, which is the mobile app for recruiters. So here I have Jennifer, for example. So just the lady we were talking to, mm-hmm. On my mobile app. And from here, so I have the chat that I just wrote here. It's on my mobile app, so I can continue the conversation here on my phone. This is the last mile, right? Recruiters are always on the go, moving from one room to another, interviewing people. So we wanted to make sure that we have the ability to take that CRM into the interview room, following the recruiters if they're on the go, if they're working remotely, and so on. And now the ability to write to Jennifer and to send her a personal note or a video of myself or anything like that, that's a real personal touch, that's not something the machines are going to take over in 2019 or in 2020 or in 2021. So we're focusing our product on giving those recruiters the ability to give that personal touch. Mm-hmm. And so it may become a real differentiator, I think, for companies who are indeed tracking the messages coming from humans versus robots. But right now we haven't gone to that level of sophistication.
Okay, so on the mobile app, do they have the access to the CRM data much like they do on desktop?
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd see, everything. So here, if I go inside Jennifer's profile, I could go down and read all of her answers and write interview notes and all that. And here I have the audio file because our CRM allows
in Spanish. I'm also an editor.
So you can hear Jennifer's answer.
I'm very good at finding mistakes. I'm very good at finding gaps.
And and I can also read the transcript. So her answer was done in voice, but I was able to get the transcript automatically. So if I'm reviewing Jennifer's profile and I'm in a loud room or in a meeting room, I don't want the noise to come out. I can, I can read the text transcript.
You're at the discotheque.
The transcript also becomes very useful if you want to do automated screening and automated filtering.
Okay, so you've got transcription already built into the CRM, the messaging platform / CRM.
That's awesome. How old are the apps? Are those new or have they been around a while?
The mobile app?
Yeah, the native app.
We just released it this week.
Woohoo! New stuff.
Android and iOS, right?
That's right. That's right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, very nice.
Only a few months behind schedule, but we've got perfectionists on the team.
That's awesome. What else you got to show us in there? This is new overall. I mean, just the CRM itself, and I'm gonna ask a deep question here. So everybody's talking about killing the ATS. Everybody, we want to kill our ATS. We want to be able to go something new. But the thing is, everybody talks about it, but they don't know what something new is. Every time we ask, it's like, what is something new? What's it going to be? You always get the, well, I don't know. Is this it?
Well, sometimes keep things simple. Like, what's the email killer? The email killer was messaging. Okay. What's going to be the ATS killer? Maybe it's the same thing. I mean, the fact that we market ourselves as the conversational recruitment CRM. Uh-huh. Conversational is a long word, but it tries to encapsulate everything. You know, the chat, but also the fact that you can talk to candidates. There are not that many CRMs, for example, that allow you to do this. Here I have this candidate who has this chat history with me, and I can start a phone call with him directly from the interface, and that phone call will be recorded and will be logged in.
And transcribed?
And transcribed, yes.
Damn!
And searchable?
It seems like a feature that should have existed a long time ago in an ATS.
Yeah. And,
if you want to have that today, you probably have to, you know, buy one of those CRMs and then have a separate system from Avaya or something like that to do all of that in one place. I think that the sales and marketing functions have moved in that direction much faster. If you look at companies like Chorus.ai, for example, they do all the transcription and give live feedback to the sales team on how, you know, did you have the right tone? Did you ask the right questions?
Right.
We should have that kind of assisted AI for recruiters as well at some point.
To me, to get deeper than Chad on the, he got pretty deep on that one.
Not so much.
It feels a lot like maybe it's mobile that is the biggest challenge to the ATS, because for years ATSs have tried to figure out how to apply to jobs via mobile, and they still haven't got it and haven't gotten it. But to me, the magic of messaging is people are applying to jobs even though they think it's a conversation. And to me, it's on a deeper level, it's mobile, and it's solutions like yours that are sort of natively mobile that are a bigger threat to the ATS than just saying it's talk push or something like a competitor, that it's really the mobile wave and trend, particularly global, which you can talk about, that's really the challenge for the ATS.
Agreed. Can I add to that a little bit on the sourcing side? The fact that most of those ATSs are built as you know, system of records, and mm-hmm. they may not have the ability to handle very large traffic. So as you may know, we market ourselves as the high volume recruitment specialist. So now I'm showing you the sourcing tab with different integration points for your traffic. So you have traffic coming in from Facebook Messenger, mm-hmm. From landing pages, you can capture from different job boards, from SMS, lead ads. And then you've got, once you've sourced the traffic from these different sources, then you can also filter the candidate based on different criteria. You know, does when you ask the question, like, tell me about your past sales experience, and you're looking for particular keywords, does the answer contain those? And then I've got an upgraded version of that smart filter, which I can show you here, which shows you what happens.
Now, wait a minute. This hasn't been launched yet. We're seeing stuff
you're seeing stuff that's in the pipeline. in the pipeline for this month, though. So what happens to the candidates when they're shortlisted, when they're rejected, mm-hmm. which folders do you move them to? And the thing that is different from the ATS here is not just the mobile part, it's the fact that this is built with NLP. So every time I'm showing you a filtering system or a question, we're going to look inside the questions answer, and we're going to look for the keywords that are important to us. So if I create here I'm in the section that where you create your questionnaire, and if I want to add a question, say, you know, are you okay, I could choose different text input. So I could choose, I want answers to come in voice or text or a picture or video, whatever. Uh-huh. And then I can map this data point with various different fields, and we're constantly adding to these fields. So you can ask an open-ended question about people's experience, past experience, or certain keywords, and then map it against those keywords so that the data isn't just piled in without structure. So this is the future of structuring the data, which helps you to handle much larger volumes. In our case, our clients use a lot of social media, Facebook, Instagram to source, and you know, they're not necessarily active job seekers.
Right.
And we may end up with conversion rates, which on the face of it looks quite small. Like you'd have conversion rates where you'd have 1,000 leads and 30 hires. So like 33% hire rate. Uh-huh. And, but that would be quite a high performance campaign for a lot of our clients. They would still have a marketing cost per hire, which would be, you know, 50, 60% lower than they would get on a job board, because they, you know, the cost per lead is much lower.
Gotcha. So quick question on the high volume side, you guys, I mean, you've kicked ass on the high volume side. Since high volume is so hard, because again, everything's coming in, you have to manage it. It's all about process to be able to make sure that you can be more efficient. Does that make it easier for you to step up into the enterprise ranks away from high volume? So you can do high volume, but you can also do some of those hard to fill positions too.
I don't know if I shared with you our customer base. They're all pretty established names. I have I have them on our website, so you can see Accenture, Deco, you know, big guys, companies that Walmart.
So does Walmart use you for more than just high volume?
They use us for high volume. Okay. We're focused on the high volume space today.
Okay, cool.
I think that when we present our solution to these companies, they're worried that people our age, I'm including myself in your age group.
That's so sweet of you, Max. That's so sweet of you. Asshole.
I think that they're always worried that the candidate will not want to respond on text or SMS or messaging, that they would find it intrusive.
Really?
Really?
Whereas for like 20 and 30 year olds, they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Have they not read the research? Have they not read the data? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I mean, I think for me, I'm happy to stay focused. We're happy to stay focused on the high volume space, because the numbers that we track is like, you know, thousands of hires, thousands of applicants every day, and millions of applicants every year. So that's what gets my teams pumped, is how do we handle really large volumes with our technology, and how do we impact big numbers that way? We don't have a huge number of customers, but we spend a lot of time thinking about how to take care of their candidates. And what I wanted to show you right here was some stats that we produce sometime for our customers. I'll show it to you later, but it's stats like
that's a big deck.
Sorry, I have too many slides here. But
that's what she said.
She said you have too many slides.
it's a big deck.
Yeah. No, she said you had too many slides.
It was Joel, a big deck.
Joel Cheeseman.
So the stats. You're making me blush, Joel. The stats that we're tracking for each one of our customers are the response time to candidates. So how many candidates are left with an applicant's application that went through but didn't move to the next step? Mm-hmm. So this is, right now we're at like 4%, for example. Sentiment analysis, how often people say thank you, how often people say F you, to the bots, and with a scoring system around that. Bot is given a different personality to match the personality of our customer. So for example, if you look at this guy, Stan, this is our standard personality. And this guy,
Joel, it's a male. He's got a male bot.
We, yes.
Stan, not Olivia, not.
I thought
Svetlana.
This is his bot or the candidate?
No, this is the bot.
This is the bot. This is the bot. So when we start a conversation with a customer, we ask them, tell us, you know, what does your ideal recruiter sound like? What's he like? What does he sound like? And then we can help build a style of conversation that fits the personality of the employer brand.
Hey, Max, I have a question about onboarding. I think one of the challenges for people to use chatbots is, you know, it's not necessarily a turnkey thing and all the questions are, you know, auto-populated. When someone becomes a customer, how much human interaction is there? How much sort of do-it-yourself process is there in your product?
Well, human interaction with us, there's a lot at the beginning, simply because we want to make sure that the experience is fully customized to your channel and to your locale. So every channel, if you speak to candidates coming in from Facebook or from WhatsApp or from SMS or from your career website, there'll be a slightly different type of interaction. Mm-hmm. And so we have conversational designers that will adapt the style of communication for each channel.
Conversational designers. I like that.
That's pretty cool, right?
I want to be that when I grow up.
Dude, you don't talk to anybody. What are you kidding me? Joel's conversation would be like two words. Yeah, no.
It'll just be one, actually.
Our head of conversational design, she joined us. She was a designer, and when she added the chatbot and the conversational bit to her job title, she said the traffic on her LinkedIn profile tripled. She's getting a lot more job offers now. So, beware.
Lesson for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Hey, Joel, have you heard of a conversational designer before?
Me either. No, but I think it's trending.
I think it's pretty awesome. So what from your clients, they're seeing these new features. What is getting them the most excited?
Everybody's really excited right now about WhatsApp, because that's how people communicate outside the US and Japan and China. And those markets, Japan is LINE and China is WeChat, and in the US is still iMessage is the leader, but everywhere else in the world, WhatsApp is how people talk. And we've launched this for a number of customers over the last few months. So that's exciting. And then people are really exploring the way to use this interface to do mass communication. So as you can see on my screen here, I'm manually selecting a few candidates.
Now, is this all with the same kind of messaging system, like just WhatsApp, or is it WhatsApp, SMS? Does it actually just pick what their default is?
Yeah, good question. I kind of skipped over that earlier. Here, I can decide which channel to communicate to the candidate from. So as far as I know, we're the only CRM platform which allows you to communicate across all of these channels: WhatsApp, Facebook, SMS, email, and we can add some more. And by default, it will talk to the candidates on the last channel that they spoke to you from. So if they spoke to you on Facebook.
Which was a really big selling point. For those who don't know, TalkPush was a deathmatch participant back in September. So if you haven't heard that podcast, I encourage you to do so. But one of the things that really stood out to all of us was TalkPush's sort of seamless conversation platform. No matter how you, a candidate wanted to talk to you, TalkPush could accommodate that, which we all thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, it's part of our position against the ATS is the ATS is asking the candidates to do things they don't want to do and to communicate in ways they're not used to communicating. If you're talking about, especially for people who are entering the job market, who wants to go back to their desktop and send an email with a cover letter and a CV? It's just not the way people talk. So if you can meet the candidates where they live, you get an edge on the competition. So companies like the big logos I shared with you, you know, the Walmarts and Accentures, they can see that, it's more customer centric to just tell the candidates, yeah, let's continue the conversation where we started it. You heard about us on Facebook. Let's continue on Facebook. Or you're talking to your friends on WhatsApp. That's where we should continue the conversation.
Well, we know, at least here in the U.S., HR is very, very slow to move on anything, whether it makes sense or not. So when you're talking to HR now, are you starting to get kind of like the twinkle in their eye? Are they getting it? Or are they looking at you like the deer in the headlights and scared shitless?
Well, the thing that's a bit frustrating is that you'll always get early adopters. But the first 2 years of chatbots and AI, people were just buying the keywords, a lot of them, and didn't understand how transformational it is and the fact that there's a change management aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Because you need to, when you're dealing with really large volumes like this and you have an interface like us, which makes a big effort at staying human and giving a human experience to the candidate,
right,
you cannot just switch off everything you've been doing before. You can't just say, I'll switch on the bots and like I'll terminate my sourcing department. The sourcing right. department needs to monitor everything that's going on, mm-hmm. and we need to train them. And so unless you've got, you can only take two or three big initiatives, right? If you're a talent acquisition department. So mm-hmm. if you want to take an initiative of we're going to embrace conversational interfaces for our high volume recruitment, you have to make sure that you embark in a bit of change management and you set aside a few weeks where you're going to work through the kinks. So that's been the one complaint, I suppose.
What else do you want to show us, Max?
Yep. So here I'm showing you how I can communicate to multiple people at once, which here I've only selected four, but I could select 1,000. I could select everybody in this folder and do group actions. I could move them to a new campaign. So this would allow me to use TalkPush to do more than just taking in applications, but also to reach out to old databases. You guys on your podcast always preach about how employers are weak at leveraging their existing databases.
Yes.
The simple way to engage an old database would be, hello, Chad. We haven't spoken in 6 months. Are you still working at IBM? We'd love to, talk to you if you're open for a discussion.
Let us know. Import their old database so that they can start these conversations?
Yeah. Yeah. So we can do that, and we can match all of that data with the right data fields so that you can start a natural conversation. If you send an email to a candidate saying, dear so and so, dear Chad Soash, here's the list of our latest jobs, and it goes to an email, I mean, you're not going to get read.
Unsubscribe. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of like the recruitment marketing function of Oracle, SAP, and all those guys. That's it. I mean, it's just a bunch of email going out. So that's probably the biggest opportunity, even though it requires, it does require that somebody spends a couple of hours working on it, making sure that they're not spamming people, because that would be counterproductive.
How do you integrate with teams versus the individual source or recruiter? Like, does each recruiter have their own account? Is it like a team can collaborate together? Talk about that part of the product.
Yeah, sure. So we'll go back to the screen so I can show that to you. So I've got my permission settings. Here in this campaign, Christina is our, we're in the conversational designer campaign and Christina is the head. So she gets all the candidates. So what we do is we do a one-to-one matching, one candidate, one recruiter, so that when you come in at the beginning of the day, if you're a recruiter and you know exactly who are the people you're supposed to talk to, because you have this thing called My Leads, which if I click on all the candidates that are assigned to me, so in this case, there's nobody in my inbox, but in the past, I had a lot of candidates that were assigned to me, so I can...
You've been working hard, Max, we know.
Well, yeah, I've outsourced this function somewhat, I must admit.
That's working, yes.
So, but here we've got I've got all my leads and I can see them by folder and search through them. And how those leads get assigned is through the system. And then here I can assign who has access to this campaign, and I can drag and drop other people in there if need be. Then you know, other settings that are important would be the build, you know, how are you engaging candidates when they first apply, the initial message that they receive, the message that they receive when they finish the first interview, or the first screen, when they're shortlisted, rejected. So it's all about saving time. We don't want to be fully automated, and that's many of our clients still want to listen to each candidate one by one. You know, in spite of all the talk about automating everything, a lot of great candidates in today's day and age with the smart filters, they get automatically screened. They get eliminated because they didn't have 5 years of relevant experience, or they didn't have this keyword on their resume. It's a bit of a shame, particularly for jobs that are customer interfacing, when you're looking for jobs in sales and customer service. You get a lot more from listening to somebody for a couple of minutes talking about how they would handle a situation than you would in a traditional application form. So with our system, a lot of clients want to take the time to spend a couple of minutes with each candidate, you know, press play, listen to the candidate. So, and then when they decide, okay, this candidate is good or not, they can just quickly click on reject or shortlist, and the candidate will get notification. And what happens after that is the candidate can then schedule the time to talk to the recruiter in person.
Will video chat ever happen, or is that something you guys are staying away from? Sort of a face like we are here.
You can submit already on TalkPush a video recording, and we do collect them. So that already happens, but video chat live, that would have to happen through WebRTC. The technology kind of works, but it's not stable enough. But I think it will happen, where you'll get a little pop-up at the bottom of the right-hand screen. It'll start in the e-commerce space, and you'll click here to talk to someone, and then you'll have a human being you can talk to, and it'll be a much better experience than otherwise. The first video call I received was from my grandmother, and so I feel like if she can do it, like, eventually everybody will. So I think it's only a matter of time, indeed.
So in 2019, when somebody asks that question, or they actually say, you know, the ATS is going to die, and then you ask them, well, what's going to take its place? Now we can actually say we have someone who's in the running. TalkPush is possibly in the running.
Push it real good.
Thank you. Thank you, Chad. You got to talk before you can push. Sorry, Joel.
You got to talk before you can push.
It's really...
I'm trying to make you blush again.
You remember push-to-talk technology? It was push-to-talk. I mean, it's kind of like the same idea, because in China, a lot of people use the voice input. Uh-huh. They use WeChat. They record a little voice and they send it to their friends. Uh-huh. And it's very popular in China because typing in Mandarin is harder. It takes longer than typing through the alphabet.
I would think anything in Mandarin is harder in life than. So yeah.
Are kids using the animated conversation?
The Bitmojis?
Yeah, I don't know what those are called. My new iPhone has them, and I think they're ridiculous, but I assume people are using them. Talking via text.
Ah, it's the stupid iPhone thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of work done on the interface with Facebook Messenger to make it a little bit more animated. What I will comment on this is we've seen that the completion rates, the engagement scores on conversation goes up tremendously if you do use GIFs, if you use animated GIFs. For some of our conversation, some of the bots that we built for our customers, they took the initiative to to create, in order to get the candidates to finish their application, uh-huh. they use animations like the sad pussy boots with a that's making his sad eyes. They say, "Why didn't you finish your application?" And they got a 2.5x increase in completion rates just by using that image. So using animation has really worked well and on Facebook Messenger.
I think we have a new title.
Going near that one.
We have a new title for this podcast: the sad pussy boots.
And how pussy boots increase response rates 2.5 times.
That's right.
Whatever that stat was.
Duh. Okay.
Well, that's actually interesting. Like that's a good takeaway.
It is.
Animated GIFs for your recruiting if you want heightened response rates.
On Facebook Messenger.
Use those Ron Burgundy GIFs.
I use them all the time, dude. So the yeah. Bueller one is my favorite.
I have entire conversations with animated GIFs.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why they call them GIFs, because GIF is peanut butter. GIF is the
I think animated. It actually is GIFs, but GIFs sounds more logical.
It does, yeah. So, yeah, Max, anything you want to impart upon the viewers?
Where can we find out more? Yes. Give us some closing. Some closure to this insane demo that we've just done.
Closure. Well, of course, welcome to our website, talkpush.com, to check it out. You can also write to us through the mobile phone and get an experience directly on the bot there. You can write to our Facebook page and talk to our bot there, and that'll give you an experience. You can at least see things from the candidate side. Mm-hmm. How would we handle the candidates? What are the first questions we're going to ask? And get some comfort level around that.
So that would be Stan. They would talk to Stan.
Stan.
They would talk to, exactly, Stan the man. And you could also go to the job section of our website to see how the chatbot would work in your own career website. And for all the talk that we did on the death of the ATS, we work in the enterprise segment. So of course we spend a lot of time integrating with the ATS, and we can quickly integrate with all the requisitions you have listed in your existing ATS, or at least the high volume ones, so that they're listed in the right segments. And the big idea on conversational interfaces is, go from point A to point B much faster. So, if it's taking more than 3 or 4 clicks for your candidates to apply to a job, particularly for entry-level ones, where you have a candidate pool with short attention span, you would stand to benefit greatly from changing your interface to conversational, and we'd love to talk to you.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you taking the time, Max. It is early in the morning in Hong Kong. It is late at night, which is why we've got the beers rolling right now. But we appreciate you taking the time and also unveiling some cool new shit that nobody's seen yet. Big up.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Max.
You the man. Yes.
Later.
Have a great day.
Have a great
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.